Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, August 14th, 2017. Before we get started, just want to send best wishes to Ric Flair, who is hospitalized reportedly in Atlanta. His management team issued a statement requesting prayers and noted that Flair had some tough medical issues. And obviously, we wish him and his family the very best. Meanwhile, on the site today, WWE announced its return to Barclays Center for SummerSlam 2018, along with the key dates for the four-day weekend. Alberto El Patron has been stripped of the Global Force Wrestling Championship and much more. Coming up after the break for non-members, Zach Zimmerman joins me to discuss his Progress Wrestling experience on Sunday in Somerville, Massachusetts. Okay, everybody, here with Zach Zimmerman. He attended the Progress Wrestling and Beyond Wrestling doubleheader on Sunday in Somerville, Massachusetts. Zach, first of all, when you attend one of these doubleheaders, whether it's Beyond or Evolve, how does the ticket situation? Can you save yourself some money? Is it all one big super ticket? How does that go?
No, they're sold a la carte, so to speak. It's per show. They run independently, and they just, you know, sometimes they share a little bit of talent, but they really kind of try to keep themselves separate as much as they can.
And what was the difference, would you say, in attendance for the two shows?
I think they were both sold out, according to just the way that they were talking. I mean, I think the Progress crowd was probably bigger. There were more people, definitely bigger, actually, now that I think about it, more people up in the balcony. Whereas, you know, Beyond is kind of sparse up in the balcony. But Beyond also lets fans right up against the ring, you know, literally right up against the ring, so that you can lean up against the ring, lean on the bottom rope, I guess, if you wanted to. Whereas Progress had barricades a couple feet around the ring. So even just that visual made it a little bit hard to tell just as far as floor space. But I would say that Progress was bigger, the two crowds.
Before we get too far in, I do want to tell people, follow Zach online at .netzim. And you can find the results of the Beyond Wrestling show either on his Twitter page or on our main page at ProWrestling.net. We're going to focus heavily on Progress Wrestling today. Zach, you attended a Progress WrestleMania weekend show. How did this compare?
Oh, I mean, this was the house show to that pay-per-view. I mean, that was one of the best indie wrestling shows I've ever been to. This was good. It was concise. It was short. It was sweet. But, you know, I didn't walk out with my mind blown, whereas I walked out of that Progress show just, you know, knowing that I had just seen one of the best indie shows that I've ever seen.
And in this case, do you feel like fans who maybe didn't get a chance to see Mania, are people walking away satisfied from a Sunday show?
Oh, yeah, I have to believe so. I mean, the thing is, I had to bring a friend to the airport, so I just had to take off right after the show. I unfortunately didn't get to gather opinions like I usually like to do. But I kind of almost felt like, you know, anybody who's gotten my opinion on these Beyond shows and in wrestling in general knows that I'm a big fan of concise, of being short, of being sweet, of just being everything it needs to be and not going, you know, not overstaying its welcome, I guess you could say. And this show almost felt to me like it went too far the other direction, where it was like I called it the house show. Like, it was almost too bare bones, but to call it bare bones would be doing it a disservice, because it was way better show than a bare bones show. But it just was like, you know, there were two halves to the show. Each half had three matches. The show went, you know, including intermission, what, maybe 2.5 hours, or 2.5, 3 hours. They did almost a 45-minute intermission. I think the first half was a little under an hour. The second half was a little over an hour. So, I mean, it was just a very almost minimalist show, but I did enjoy it for what it was.
And Pete Dunne was sidelined. What happened to him?
I guess he worked – I don't want to get the indie promotion wrong. I don't think it was House of Hardcore. It was some – I don't know, some New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware indie promotion. Pete Dunne was working against an independent wrestler named Darius Carter. And I guess Carter hit him with a belt shot that busted Dunne open, gave him some stitches. And so he was not able to wrestle on either of the Progress shows, not for the New York show nor for the Boston show here.
And TK Cooper – worked the New York show, but he suffered an ankle injury.
He did, and from what I hear, it was a very visible, very graphic injury where his leg was, you know, your foot kind of comes out to a 90-degree angle with your leg, where he was just 180 degrees the whole way. Looked like he had snapped his leg pretty good. So he is out. He was obviously out for the Boston show. He did make it out of the hospital. He was at the Somerville, the Boston show here, but he was just sitting at the merch stand in the cast on crutches. You know, very. There were a couple times during the show that he, you know, people in the ring would kind of point to him, call him out, and he would get chance, and, you know, he would kind of well up. Obviously, very raw emotion. TK Cooper's, like, just about to get a huge break. You know, him and Travis Banks, who's also got huge buzz around him, but they're the South Pacific Power Trip. They're one of the hottest teams in the world right now in terms of indie wrestling. They're just kind of tearing everything up everywhere they go. They were both set to make their PWG debuts in Battle of Los Angeles in a couple weeks, and obviously TK Cooper is not... You know, he's out of Battle of Los Angeles, which has to be pretty crushing. So it's very disappointing. But hopefully he'll rebound and have a big run when he comes back, because the guy's got a lot of talent.
How much did those absences cause the card to change?
I would imagine pretty heavily. I mean, I know the Beyond show was shaken up with the TK Cooper injury, and then obviously this Boston one was. They ended up doing Jack Gallagher and Travis Banks instead of what probably would have been an SPPT tag match. So obviously they had to shift things around. And just, I mean, Travis Banks is fantastic. He's one of the hot up and comers on the scene right now. But just the South Pacific Power Trip as a team, they bring just such high match quality that I have to believe that it did hurt the shows. And then of course Pete Dunne, who just brings a level of star power that I don't want to say was missing from these shows, but I think if he had been on, he would have been the biggest star on them, you know, undoubtedly, obviously the UK champion and the Progress champion. So yeah, he did make appearances. So it wasn't, you know, like he was totally unavailable, but it did hurt things.
And I guess I should give a warning here just for anybody who likes to watch these things on demand. We're about to get into the spoilers of the show as far as match results are concerned. We'll just kind of start at the beginning. You take me through each match. Jeff Cobb beat Mark Andrews.
Yeah. And this was a perfect dynamic. I mean, obviously Cobb's the big guy who just throws people around, and Mark Andrews is, Matanza, right? Also known as Matanza in Lucha Underground. But he just goes out there and throws people around. And Mark Andrews is anybody who watched the WWE UK tournament will be familiar with him. He's also, you know, he does a lot of American indies and UK indies, but he's a great high flyer. And so you put those two together, and Jeff Cobb just got to throw him around. Andrews got some good hope spots in, but, yeah, it was simple opener, but they worked really well together. Some fun power man spots, and I enjoyed that, and Cobb got the win.
And I know you were a little down on Cobb, just in terms of you felt he was getting a little too much hype based on the matches you had seen. That was Mania weekend time. Where are you at on him now?
I mean, I'm still not sold that he's still not kind of where I think the buzz is on him. He's just, I don't know, inside. I know people who don't think he's capable of, you know, if you do star ratings, don't think he's really capable of a 3+ star match, because, well, he doesn't really show it. It's not a matter of phoning it in. He kind of just does the same thing everywhere he goes, and the same match with different opponents. And, you know, you really kind of, the best workers in the world are the ones who create the, you know, who really live up to their buzz, are the ones who can adapt their styles and who can put on unique matches with different performers of different styles. And Cobb just kind of gives you more of the same.
Second match was Dakota Kai, who used to work as Evie, defeating Ginny and Deonna Purrazzo in a three-way. Tell me about this one.
You're going to see Dakota Kai and Deonna Purrazzo, obviously, in the upcoming Mae Young Classic. I don't believe Ginny was in that one. She may have been, but I don't believe so. I think they went with Toni Storm and a couple other Progress ladies. But I got to believe that Ginny's on WWE's radar. You know, they're kind of into the ethnically ambiguous characters, or just ones that they can play to certain markets, and I think Ginny kind of plays that up nicely. So she was, you know, she kind of was impressive here. Deonna Purrazzo is one of the best female workers on the scene right now, and Dakota Kai, this is the first time I've seen her wrestle, and she was super, super impressive, just throwing really good looking kicks, nice suplexes, and she got the win. Dakota Kai got the win with a double stomp on to Deonna after Deonna had hit a German suplex on Ginny. This was, I saw a couple people kind of taking off like a bathroom break for this match, and I kind of knew from the get-go that that was a mistake, and these ladies proved that. They went out there and impressed, for sure.
Does Deonna, is she still a free agent?
as far as I know, she's a very free agent, and she just takes bookings everywhere with everyone, gets all the experience she can, and she's really getting her name out there.
Yeah, she was just on the Women of Honor special again. She's a regular on, I think they've only had a few of them, but she's a regular on those. Very talented. I'm just surprised that she is still a free agent. WWE's Jack Gallagher beat Travis Banks. You mentioned that, that this was kind of a makeshift match, if you will, and you did get a Pete Dunne appearance.
Yeah, we got a Pete Dunne appearance. Travis Banks won Progress's big annual tournament, the Super Strong Styles tournament, to earn himself a title match. So that's why Travis Banks is feuding with Pete Dunne. They'll have a title match coming up in a month or two. And so the gimmick to this one was that Pete Dunne got to pick Travis Banks' opponent for the show going into their title match. And Dunne picked Jack Gallagher. It was a fun match. I've been kind of hyping up Travis Banks. He's going to be a name that people are going to start talking about in the very near future. Kind of more mainstream fans, so to speak, are going to be knowing the name Travis Banks soon. And obviously familiar with Jack Gallagher. He worked hard here. This was not a phoned in, somebody might say you get a WWE guy working in an indie show, you might expect that they'll phone it in or be safe or whatever. And they certainly didn't do anything dangerous or unsafe whatsoever, but they also didn't hold anything back in terms of like pacing or, you know, just like there were chops to the chest that were hard. They were, you know, just working back and forth, snug, good offense, a good match. Pete Dunne came out to distract Travis Banks when he was going for his finishing springboard kick, and Gallagher hit him with a headbutt and his running drop kick and got the win. So it was nicely done, where you can't really send Jack Gallagher onto the indie scene to do a job. So he gets his win, and Travis Banks doesn't really lose anything because it plays into his feud with Dunne. So that worked out really well. Gallagher also cut a little promo, just talking about how, you know, he's very fortunate to be one of the only guys, frankly, ever that WWE has like given this free reign to go out and work the independent scene in the way they have Jack Gallagher, and he's just very thankful for that. And he put over Travis Banks big time.
Oh, cool! With the injury to Cooper and Banks, kind of it seems like already moving into the title picture, as you mentioned. I mean, is it possible that they were going more in a singles direction with those guys anyway?
I mean, that's possible. It's possible. I mean, they were never glued together. TK Cooper and Dahlia Black, his girlfriend, are the South Pacific Power couple. And then when he does team with Banks, they're South Pacific Power Trip. They're a great unit, so people kind of look forward to them coming in together. But like, you know, with Battle of Los Angeles coming up, and Travis Banks' upcoming title match, there obviously is room for them to do singles things, which is why I don't think either one will be hurt. And I know at least TK Cooper is on WWE's radar, so at one point or another, you know, singles runs are probably inevitable. So obviously this injury is never a good thing, but who knows? Yeah, the distance may be okay for Travis Banks to break out in the meantime, and then Cooper can kind of launch himself back into people's minds when he comes back from this injury.
Now you head into intermission, just a routine intermission. Anything notable about it?
Yeah, it was like 45 minutes. Kind of unnecessary. There were a lot of fans there who wanted merch. There were a lot of fans there who wanted pictures. Jim Smallman, the owner, is like a very he's just like a great face of the company. So he was out there during intermission, just like small talk with the fans around ringside. So like, I don't know that it was, I don't want to say it was them getting carried away or whatever, or losing track of time, but it, you know, kind of forgivable. Like not, you know, I wasn't angry about it because it wasn't like everybody was just sitting there bored, but also like, you know, you can go a nice 15 minute, maybe a half hour intermission. But once you go longer than that, it's like, all right, let's put the time back into the show or just get us out of there, because nobody just wants to be like standing around in the middle of a show.
Now, as someone who doesn't see much progress, I know you mentioned promoter Jim Smallman. He opens the shows with some hype. Is it, you know, it's easy to read and just kind of jump to a conclusion. Is he really good at this? Is this more egocentric? You know, I mean, tell me about his show opens.
I mean, there's a part of me that's like, maybe, you know, there's a percentage of it that's vanity, because that's kind of what pro wrestling is to a certain extent. It's show business. So there is that there. But he's also just kind of great at what he does. He's a great promoter. He's a great face of the company. He comes out before the show. They play the Imperial March from Star Wars. And then they play Drake Started from the Bottom. And Smallman just walks around the ring while the whole song plays. And that's where it gets a little bit like, okay, guy, like it's a 3-minute song and he just does probably like 10 laps around the ring while he waits for the song to end. And then a Metallica For Whom the Bell Tolls hits, and that's his cue to get into the ring, and that's when he gets into the ring and starts his promo. And then he does, like, you know, it's a different promo with every show, but this one was just about everything that went wrong with the New York show between Dunn's injury, between Cooper's injury. I guess they had a bus rented to bring all the talent from New York to Boston, and Smallman said that somewhere between the bus driver leaving the bus depot and showing up to pick them up from the building, he just disappeared, and the bus never showed up. They waited like 2.5 hours, slept there overnight, had to catch a train to Boston super early in the morning. So just kind of talked about all of that. And then he did the usual thing about progress, which is just like, you know, it's kind of a TV-14, so to speak, crowd. So he kind of points out any kid in the crowd and asks them how old you are, and the gimmicks, the kid's supposed to say they're 14 and everybody cheers. It's kind of funny. And then he goes through the number one rule, which everybody knows in progress, is don't be a dick. And everybody says that, and then he wraps it up, and then it's showtime. Hey, so it's a little bit long, but it's enjoyable, and it's part of the progress experience for sure.
Sure, and words to live by, I like the slogan.
That's right.
I guess coming up next was the Atlas Championship. What is the Atlas Championship? Where does it fall in the pecking order in progress?
I mean, there's the Atlas World Championship, but then there's the, you know, Progress promotes, like they say, their British strong style. They bring kind of some of the Japanese strong style stuff to the UK scene. And so the Atlas Championship is their strong style championship, so to speak. This was actually a non-title match. The night before, Matt Riddle had won the title back from Walter. And then this was just a non-title match against Martin Stone, who was unannounced. It was actually kind of cool to see him. The crowd popped big because he's been working back in NXT as Danny Burch a lot lately. So he's been kind of picking up a buzz, and he's worked really hard, gotten himself into great shape, and had a really fun match here with Matt Riddle. I enjoyed it a lot. Riddle tapped him out.
And from there, we went to Jimmy Havoc beating Zach Gibson.
Oh, this was bad. Zach Gibson,
I loved your commentary. It was a match.
Oh, it was a match, and it was nothing more. Zach Gibson comes out. Actually, that's not true, because it was a Zach Gibson promo, and then it was a match. So the whole gimmick is that, like, if you'll remember Vicky Guerrero, when she'd come out and the crowd would just boo her so loud that you couldn't even, you know, you'd go there, and the whole gimmick was that, like, it doesn't even matter what she's saying because you just boo so loud that nobody can hear. So that's what this is, where Gibson comes out and he says that, you know, he's Liverpool's number one, he's soon to be Progress's number one, soon to be the UK's number one, and the crowd just boos him so loud that, you know, you can't even hear him. I think this one, you know, on the Beyond show, he worked unannounced on that show, and I think he did like a 3.5 or 4 minute promo. I think this one was like a 6 or 7 minute promo, just between, like, you know, just trying to get his very basic promo in with the crowd booing him, and then the crowd shushes themselves, and he stops talking, and then as soon as he starts talking, the crowd picks up and boos him really loudly again. So that honestly was like probably just about as long as the match, and it was more entertaining than the match, because I don't know what was going on with Jimmy Havoc, but this was just a bad weekend for him. Bad match. Nothing connected. Everything just looked off. Havoc went up heavy for all of Gibson's offense, and it just no good. No good at all.
He had a rough night on Saturday as well.
From what I hear, yeah, he worked a match against Joey Janela. So that's, you know, Janela's kind of more of like a guy who goes out there to be like, you know, take any bump, do any sick high spot, do any, you know, slice and dice, whatever, anything. And so that's kind of what him and Havoc was. It was a New York match, so there was the athletic commission, but there were still cinder blocks and thumbtacks, things like that. Just not my kind of match. And from what I hear, yeah, people just said Havoc was kind of the disappointment of the weekend.
And it's main event time. Mustache Mountain, Tyler Bate.
Although, I should be correct. I need to be corrected. Our own Hayden Gleed pointed out that he didn't point out that I was wrong. He's much too kind to do that. But Rev Pro promotes this tag team as Mustache Mountain. Progress promotes them as British Strong Style. So they're actually technically here, they're British Strong Style.
I see, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's that Welsh kindness. He'll never just come up and tell you you're wrong.
That's right.
What we love about Hayden. So it's Tyler Bate and Trent Seven beating Timothy Thatcher and Walter to retain the Progress titles. Tell me about Walter, a name I've been seeing pop up quite a bit lately.
Yeah, Big Daddy Walter is awesome. He's a big boy, real big in every way, tall, thick, heavy. Hard hitting. He's the head of the WXW's training school over in Germany. He's a big Austrian boy. Yeah, he's just he hits hard. He's really great, strong style. I mean, Jason, you were kind of around to I think you were doing ROH stuff during Takeshi Morishima's run. Were you kind of keeping? He's very much in line with the Takeshi Morishima, just in terms of body type, in terms of the way he works, just hard hitting, aggressive, like cool. Just a big boy who hits hard, a big bear. He's awesome.
Yeah, I loved Morishima back in the day. Great stuff. Yeah. Well, tell me about the match. Bate and Seven retain the Progress Tag Titles.
Yeah, it was a lot of Bate and Seven kind of doing just like kind of grab ass, you know, smoke and mirrors. Just a lot of messing with the crowd at ringside and playing up the whole WWE thing by, you know, they do a Triple H spot and then milk it for all the heat they could get and just that kind of thing. So it's not like it was a bad match, but they didn't really have their working boots on. Whereas Timothy Thatcher and Walter, Thatcher can sometimes come across boring to me just because of his style is kind of one style and he doesn't change it up much. But he kind of amped his style up a little bit, showed some real good aggressiveness here, and Walter did too. And it was good when they were kind of beating Bate and Seven up. It was fun then. But overall, it was just kind of okay. Maybe just kind of to the bottom of what my expectations would have been. I was kind of hoping for more, though, to be honest.
And so you had to head right out after the show. I assume no return date or anything announced?
No. I mean, I'm fairly certain that they plan to be back. I mean, I know I don't really think I'm letting the cat out of the bag. I fully expect that they will be a part of the WrestleMania weekend next year. I mean, just sure. there's nothing official, but like, there's no way they couldn't. They did so well this year. It was the most, you know, it came out the most highly reviewed show afterwards, I believe. And just the buzz about it was there more than any other WrestleMania weekend show on the indie side of things. And so I'd be shocked if they didn't get more dates next year.
Any buzz on Progress and the WWE Network, which is, it was confirmed at one point by George Berrios before he acted like it had already been announced. It hadn't been. It still hasn't been. What's going on there?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, part of me wonders if the whole like ITV and UK wrestling television kind of dying down a little bit, if that kind of took WWE's like urge to come up with competition and snatch up all the talent, like if maybe that kind of slowed that up a little bit. But I will say the one thing that I noticed here is that Progress usually uses, you know, all their talent has custom themes, custom entrance themes. Everybody here was using generic music, and we kind of speculated that probably has something to do with WWE using somehow, whether it's putting the show up on the network or just using the footage or having the footage, because otherwise Progress does good with their music, and this was all generic. So that was the only note that I really have on that from the show.
And did that take away from the experience quite a bit, having different music? I just remember, you know, watching some of the ECW shows and seeing the music change, and obviously they had no right to use the music in the first place, but it really did. It just kind of changed the overall vibe of the show, going back and watching some of those.
I mean, there are some things where I think, you know, Zach Gibson, who comes out to kind of a soccer or football kind of rally theme, I think that was kind of missed, where some of the crowd sings along with it. British Strong Style not having their theme. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody in the crowd was like, you know, I don't think it brought anybody's opinion down of the show, but I think, you know, it did a little bit, because the crowds didn't quite know who to pop for until they came through the curtain. So yeah, as far as it goes, that's really as much as it hurt it, but not, I don't think it hurt it as much as, say, ECW probably did, where a lot of that was like, you're there to see the entrance and experience the entrance, because quite frankly, a lot of the matches, you know, a lot of the match might not be that great. Whereas this is, you know, the entrance is fun, but it really comes down to what they're doing in the ring.
How does Progress compare the in-person experience to a lot of the indie shows that you frequent?
Frankly, I think it's top of the heap. It's just like, they kind of just the message of like, I don't know, here's the liberal elite dirt sheeting me coming out, but just like the kind of all inclusiveness that they kind of promote. Even the name Progress Wrestling, they're all about just wrestling is for everyone. Wrestling is about being all inclusive. Don't be a dick. Don't be a bully. Don't be a, you know, you can be a smart ass, but there's a line between being a wise guy and being a dick.
Right.
And don't be a dick. And like, so as far as that goes, I think a lot of American wrestling promotions be probably really wise to tell their fans, hey, don't be a dick, or if like that was their rallying cry, because that I think that goes a long way. In terms of like, you know, I can't speak to like, there were people who were very dissatisfied with the New York show because the venue was so hot. It was oversold. It was standing room only. People were passing out in the crowds from the heat. I can't speak to that because that could happen to any indie promotion. You know, maybe it's on Progress for not being on top of things a little more. But just in terms of the way like they kind of respect their fans, they treat their fans, they give them their money's worth, I really think they're as good as it gets.
Well, very good. And I do want to direct people to ProWrestling.net in our members audio side. Hayden Gleed and at one point Darren Gutteridge were doing a ton of Progress Wrestling coverage in audio form. Hayden has kind of shifted it to writing about the shows now. He had some recaps of some recent shows up on the site over late last week, and I know he has another one coming here. He's trying to catch up. Zach, what any thoughts on the Progress On Demand service?
I'm honestly not the person to ask for that. I'm sure it's great, and you can get all of the Progress shows that you've ever wanted to watch. You can watch them, I would imagine, from the first one on. They do have a really, really compelling product. They put on some big matches. You can see some of the – well, I don't want to promote like some of the 205 guys and say that because, quite frankly, you haven't really seen them all used the best. But you can see a lot of guys who have been on 205 and NXT used really, really well in Progress. I would fully recommend you at least go check it out or check out their YouTube page, if nothing else. If you're not familiar with Progress, like, give it a look. It's you know, PWG and, well, I guess really that's it. But PWG gets all the buzz as, like, it's the only place in indie wrestling that you can make a name for yourself. No, it's 2017. Times have changed.
Definitely.
PWG is still a thing, but Progress is, if not one of the big hot new thing.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. Again, everybody, follow Zach online at .netzim. He is a regular at a lot of various independent events, and he runs the results oftentimes as they happen at .netzim on Twitter. Of course, follow the brand at ProWrestlingNet. Tomorrow will be a Global Force Wrestling conference call. I know. But it's with Lashley, so it actually should be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to that one. That will be the All Access Daily Podcast on Tuesday. And, of course, all sorts of SummerSlam-related things coming up as we get closer to the weekend. And, Zach, unless something changes, you will be doing the NXT live coverage of the TakeOver show on Saturday night. And then you and I are going to get together for the audio review of TakeOver exclusively for our members.
Yes, that is the plan. I'm looking forward to the show. And also, not to hype things too far in advance, but I'm doing a real super quick trip out to Los Angeles for Bola. I'm flying in the Friday that Bola starts, and I'm flying out Monday. So I'll have results, written coverage, and I'm sure I'll hook up with you on audio at some point to discuss my experience there. So people have that to look forward to as well.
Very good. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe to our daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher. Anything that you can do to help spread the word about this podcast would be wonderful. Take care.